Well, good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Monica's home church here at Battle Baptist, I'd like to welcome everyone to this Thanksgiving service for her life. The hymns and the Bible readings we'll have this afternoon were all chosen by Monica, and they're going to be interspersed with reflections on her life brought by different people who work closely with her at different times. And then I'll bring some remarks on behalf of Monica's family and sum up all that we've heard about with a brief message based on God's word. So let's stand and sing together the first hymn, My Jesus, I Love Thee, I Know Thou Art Mine.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Saviour art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis Thou. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis Thou. I love Thee in life, I will love Thee in death, and praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath, and say when the death you must hold on my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis Thou. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis Thou. This
reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patience. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you because you made us in your own image and gave us gifts in body, mind, and spirit. We thank you now for Monica and what she meant to each of us. As we honour and pay tribute to her memory this afternoon, make us more aware that you are the one from whom comes every perfect gift, including the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I'm going to invite Barry to come and tell us something about Monica's role working with him in the UK and your very long partnership in the gospel.
Yes, 40 years, and it don't seem a day too long.
Thank you. Well, my task is to try to be brief and compress what I'd love to share into a few moments. Lots of anecdotes I'd love to share with you. I've got so many funny stories and a few sad ones that I'd love to share with you. But perhaps afterwards, with some refreshments, might be an opportunity for you to hear some of those. So I'm just going to do the salient features. And if you relate to a stage in Monica's life that I mentioned, New Zealand's Baptist church, they do things very properly in Baptist churches. Could you give me an hoi? Okay. And so that everybody feels comfortable doing it. Hoi! Would you just do it now? Ready? One, two, three.
Hoi!
Okay, so if I come to that now. It's lovely. We've got Monica's brother and his partner Pauline here today. Really super to have them. They've come down for Norfolk. And Michael's memory will go back to farm days in Norfolk or Norfolk and her growing up and time playing on the farm and times there. Went to school locally. Anybody here remember her from school? Pauline does. Gloria does. Gloria shares Monica's birthday. We perhaps we shouldn't say that, Gloria, because now they know you're as old as Monica, so that's a terrible thing. So. Okay, so here we go. Where did I first meet Monica? Well, it was at Birmingham Bible Institute. And keep it coming. And she was sitting in the student body, and I was a guest speaker and a missionary point where I was talking about rural evangelism in this country. Now, Monica was particularly interested because she had a rural background, but also she was interested in the journey God was taking her. She'd already finished her secondary education at Wyndham College, gone on to teacher training college, and from then become a teacher in Norfolk, in primary schools in Norfolk and Suffolk, I think, as well, and then gone on a teacher exchange out to Australia. See, there's people here from all sorts of... Now, while she was there, I must tell you the first... Is anybody there here? Anita, did you share that first night with, was it with cockroaches and fleas or something? In a separate place. But she walked the streets of Sydney, I think, because she... Monica was very particular about some things. How she coped, being so particular, always immaculate, you know, always clean and tidy. She had to wear something 2 days running. It always got ironed. And yet, she coped... working in incredible, difficult situations, taking enormous risks and coping with a huge loss of comfort and pleasures. Well, while she was in Australia, she felt God calling her to something she didn't know what. She came back to a bit of study at BBI and then went on to do a bit more and became the head girl while she was there. And she's sitting in this student body, and I'm talking about this thing, and she posed a question afterwards saying, "What does your organisation do as far as opportunities for women are concerned?" And it caught me off guard, and I didn't know what to say. And I had a senior colleague who was very misogynistic, really, sitting on the platform with me. So I sort of said, well, we fit them in. And Monica mentally ticked us off the list, said, I won't work with them if they're the last thing on the well. But a few months later, she came and did some training with us. So she came and trained with us, that we're then based at Breed. I soon learned what her abilities were. Her agricultural background was ideal, and her teaching background. And I realized her skills. Her early work within the organization known as Mission for Christ meant she was part of an evangelistic team traveling all over the country, conducting missions in villages and country towns across the denominations. And she was great because she was very flexible and would undertake anything that was asked of her. But her main function was to work with the children. She did that alongside a man called Alf Lavender, who was our principal children's evangelist. Monica then took responsibility on board for the follow-up for the children. And that really was a key thing in her life. She believed that children could become Christians. They could have an experience of knowing Jesus Christ as their personal savior, and then they could grow in their faith the same way that adults do and learn about discipleship, learn how to pray, to read the Bible properly, and to witness for Christ. And so she started a group we called the Missioners, and she ran scores of missioners clubs all over the country and took some of them on camps. And we did have somebody who was hoping to be here who'd been part of that early camp team. Incidentally, I've had messages from all over the world of people sending greetings here today. So that was Monica's early time. And we also got her helping on the training program, and she did the teaching module for children's work as well. And her care of these groups was absolutely phenomenal. Both Monica and I left that organization in 1988, and Monica chose to continue to work with me in an organization called Sunrise Ministries and under the name Rural Sunrise. And she did all sorts of things in that context too. Holiday Bible clubs, she ran holiday Bible clubs all over the country. They were really great, and all sorts of other aspects of evangelism. She worked with all sorts of people. She teamed up with some people that we'd got to know in Mission for Christ days called Ray and Vera Grout. And Vera would want her greetings to be brought here. And used to do a special events for them, conferences in the summer at a place called Pantadura. She also developed some really interesting aspects of ministry. Her primary function within Rural Sunrise was to help churches to set up self-sustainable programs of discipleship and ministry to children and with children, and that was really at the heart of the things. She had a wonderful ability to help children come to faith in Christ. She would present the gospel message very simply, but guard against any kind of emotionalism when it comes to encouraging a response to the gospel. So she would make it very difficult for children to respond. They'd have to look her at after they'd had a lot of fun and games together, but they would do so. And in the world today, there are hundreds of people who became Christians in their childhood under Monica's ministry and grew up. Some of them have become parents, and their children also came to faith in Christ through Monica's ministry over the years, which was tremendous. She was a pioneer in the use of multi-aspect teaching, and she also developed an interesting program of what do you do where you've only got a limited amount of space and only a few people, but you've got a lot of children across a wide age range to look after. So she developed a special program for that. The aspect of discipleship development was key to all that she did, both in this country and abroad. And she was really exciting. She was so much a pioneer in this field that lots of people have responded to it. I received a message from a lady called Margaret Withers, who used to be the head of the Church of England's Children's Ministry. And in that email, she says how much she learned from Monica during her time in Rural Sunrise, and how grateful she was, and how that got passed on to people throughout the Church of England. So her influence spread far and wide. She taught children how to pray. She believed that as children prayed, they developed that sense of personal relationship with Jesus. And that was precious. That was at the heart of it all. And she used to run prayer days not far from here at Ashburnham Conference Centre, and had a base, and had some wonderful times there. On one occasion, she used to teach people sometimes through games, and she had a game of tug and war on one occasion. I don't know if that's spiritual warfare she was doing, and I think she was probably on her own pulling one side and all the children on the other, I expect. But she fell over backwards and knocked herself out. But woke up to find everybody, all these children laying hands on her and praying for her, which is really wonderful. It was 1995 when she followed me out to Kenya, and I had particularly asked her to visit the people in Obambo. Somebody else is going to talk about the way that took off. But her heart was very much in the years that followed in Obambo, and what amazing stuff that she did there. She also started to move out further and further afield in international ministry with children and worked with an organization called Children Worldwide. Well done. And they were with her, and she did all sorts of work in all sorts of countries. And the kind of feedback, I've been privileged because I've been sending out the emails to get all this communication back, all the incredible things that we've heard. So her international ministry developed. She'd reached an age, I better not say precisely when we felt that she had fulfilled her responsibilities to the main part of Sunrise Ministries. And Stan Ackland, who was the chairman of Sunrise, we agreed that we would release her to do some international ministry, and that brought a lot of blessing. But I want to come back to the kind of person that Monica was. Monica was a caring person. She took interest in people. She loved people, and she listened to people, and she built incredible relationships up with people all over the world. She never, ever forgot my birthday or my wife's birthday. I don't know how she got on with other people. Did she always remember yours, Michael? And that's just as well. And Gloria's, I expect she managed to remember your birthday. But she would, at Christmas time, receive lots of Christmas cards, and she would set aside time throughout the Christmas period to look at each of these cards and to pray for the people that sent them to her. Wasn't that marvellous? Just to think she did that. She was a caring person. She was unassuming and unpretentious. There was a certain kind of innocence and naivety about Monica, which sometimes got her into spots of trouble, but was very endearing indeed. Not only was she a bit naive, she was incredibly accident-prone, and not only did she fall over when she was doing a teaching there, she did the same thing in Africa on one occasion, in Malawi, but also had all sorts of incredible accidents. Once, driving home, she loaded the car wrongly, and it was heavy at the back and light at the front, and she managed to go off the road, up a bank, and rolled it over. It landed on four wheels, so she just kept driving. She was a faithful person. She was a faithful friend and a faithful worker. And sometimes her sense of work ethic and industry was a problem. When she'd had major surgery, we had enormous trouble getting her to not come back to work, because she would want to come back. And she worked through enormous difficulties sometimes. And I'm thankful for such a good colleague. I want to say that she was a true disciple of Jesus. What she taught, she modeled in her life. She loved the Lord Jesus with all her heart. And she would want me to say that she did that because she knew that Jesus loved her and that she was precious to Jesus. And she would want to say to anybody here, if you don't know him, get to know him. It's the most important thing you could ever do, and it was what motivated and characterized her life. She was a tremendous prayer warrior. Not only was she involved in all the rural ministry and the stuff I've ever known, but she got behind street pastors and all sorts of other things like that, and with your prayer partners as you were going out. So what a loss. What have we lost? I've lost a co-worker. I've lost a friend. And I've lost a partner in ministry. That was something she was very fussy about, to talk about being a partner in ministry. We started the work of Rural Sunrise together, and she said, well, I was not really her boss, and that we were co-equal. It caused problems on one occasion. Because we worked together, we would sometimes have a bit of argy-bargy, and somebody said, are you two married? She answered very indignantly, no, he's my partner.
Thanks, that was really great. And do pray for Barry, because when you lose a partner in ministry, you feel it. It's not like doing a job. You feel it, and it's a big loss. We're going to stand and sing the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. In Jesus.
sins and griefs to bear, to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And we find a friend so blessed.
I'd like to give a perspective of Monica as a family friend, because Monica was a family friend to us, the Harper family, for many, many years. And it's from that angle that I'm looking at things, although inevitably, of course, we're remembering dear Monica. And there are going to be some things which I'm about to say, which Barry has already touched on, so you're going to have to forgive me for that. I didn't read his script before we started. Since Monica's been with the Lord, I know that we're not the only ones who have felt the loss of a family member, because that was the way she projected herself so well. And for the last 25 years, she's been very much a part of our family. She's seen our five children grow up, and she saw the years pass for Ellis and I. And we loved Monica very much, and we were so blessed by the fact that she so patently and obviously loved us. What do we remember and treasure about Monica? Well, here's the first duplication. She was faithful. Wasn't Monica faithful? She always remembered birthdays. She always sent cards and gifts to the children and to us. She always prayed for us. She loved to join in with family meals. And she blessed us with her company on ever so many Christmas days and New Year's. And she was always smiling. And the picture which you've just seen, the previous one. I'm afraid I was a bit mean there, because I actually didn't realise the flash was on, so Zoe got a bit of a surprise. But Monica, of course, was impeccably prepared, as always, and is giving us a lovely smile. She loved our children. In fact, she loved all the young people around her, and this was just such a characteristic of Monica. She had such a deep love for young people. And she was, of course, a very major influence amongst them, as Barry has said. She didn't try to direct our children's lives or other children's lives, but she knew the importance of what is passed on at a young age. And she was committed to teaching truth, and she always did unwaveringly. This is a spot she was often found in. Can we have the next picture, please? This was a spot she was often found in, the baptismal pool, taking delight in young people's understanding that they have a saviour who loves them passionately. And I've got a couple of other pictures, which are disconnected because Monica's not in them, of some of the children she taught and loved. And possibly you'll find some familiar faces in there. In fact, possibly you are one of the familiar faces. Monica was loads of fun, absolutely loads of fun. If there was a game going, Monica was there, and like as not, she'd organised it. I've got a photograph here of her thinking about how to pick up a cereal box in her teeth at a party. This is the sort of problem that Monica addressed so well. She was very good at it. She was quite good at it. But she never won because there was another lady who was just a legend at it. Now, you'll notice in this picture that the cereal box has actually gone. We've only got the bottom left. And I would contend that if you put that in the bottom of the baptismal pool here and had her standing on the edge, she'd still have picked it up. She was astoundingly courageous. Maybe this isn't something which you don't encounter this sort of thing all the time, but she was astoundingly courageous, and she had a heart of compassion. She would literally laugh at risk. She would laugh at it, and she would follow wherever God led her. And she was also rigorously organized. After Barry encountered Pastor Jack out in the Bambo and recognized the opportunity for mission, Monica just took it forward with a passion and an energy. And she had so much energy. And she channeled it effectively. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that she spearheaded something absolutely extraordinary in that community. That community of Abambo is not the same as the community that she walked into all those years ago. And that was largely because of Monica. She worked at spiritual levels in mission, but she also worked at a humanitarian level as well. And she, I think, would just contend that the two are the same thing. It's the outpouring of the love that she had in her heart from Jesus to the people around her. And it was astoundingly effective. During my visits to Abambo, I've been amazed by the fact that everybody knows her. Everybody knew her. Everybody was ready to talk about Monica. And they'd have jokes about her as well, which means that they must have known her pretty well. This picture, this next picture, just shows her really, that was in many ways her home, just amongst these people that she loves so much and who loved her so much. Sometimes we can assess situations incorrectly. There's a story of, we haven't heard this before, there's the story of the agricultural salesman who was selling animal feed, and he went up to the farm and he walked up. And as he was walking past the gate of a field, a horse came up and said, "Psst, I've won 25 races and I've won my owner £5 million. I keep the trophies in the barn," dropped a wink. And needless to say, the agricultural salesman was astounded by this, absolutely amazed by it. And he walked on, and when he met the farmer, he said, "I'd like to buy your horse." And the farmer said, "Oh, you don't want to have that horse." And the salesman said, "But I do, I very much want that horse. I will write you a cheque for £25,000 now for that horse." And the farmer said, "Done," shook him by the hand immediately. And whilst the salesman was writing his cheque out for £25,000, he said to the farmer, "Incidentally, why did you think I wouldn't want the horse?" And the farmer looked at him and said, "Oh, he's a born liar. He hasn't won a race in his life." This is the thing about Monica. Despite all of what I've just said, the central core thing is that she loved Jesus. And she understood that if she surrendered herself and her life and she followed Jesus, then Jesus living in her would be faithful. And she recognized that if she did that, she would receive Jesus' love, and that love in her heart would pour out to others. And boy, didn't it pour out. It poured out over everybody she met. As a family, we thank God with all our hearts for Monica.
Thanks, Bob. You'll see as the hymns go on that Monica's preaching a sermon here. And the next one is "All to Jesus I Surrender."
To him I freely give. I will
to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. Another verse or not? Aha, it's arrived.
All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred place. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory. I surrender.
Please sit down. The second reading is from Romans chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 28. We know that in all things God works for good with those who love him, those whom he has called according to his purpose. Those whom God had already chosen, he also set apart to become like his Son, so that the Son would be the first among many brothers. And so those whom God set apart, he called. And those he called, he put right with himself, and he shared his glory with them. In view of all this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not God, who did not even keep back his own Son, but offered him for us all. He gave us his Son. Will he not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? God himself declares them not guilty. Who then will condemn them? Not Christ Jesus, who died, or rather who was raised to life and is at the right side of God, pleading with him for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? As the scripture says, for your sake we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above, nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I'm going to invite Clive Mills to come now and talk about Monica from his perspective.
It's been my absolute privilege to have been Monica's chairman of her support group, Friends of Bambo, since 2002. It was in this very church, after an evening service over coffee, that the Holy Spirit prompted me to speak to Monica about her work in Bambo. I didn't know much about it at the time, but I said to Monica, "Do you need any help?" And she accepted, and in a sense, the rest is history. The two of us set about forming Friends of Bambo, and I'd like to thank all the people that have been involved with that group over the last 13 years. There's been some fantastic people involved, and I'd like to pay tribute to the present group that have got so many attributes and so many skills that we all work together in such a really wonderful way, and it's been a privilege to have been associated with the work. The work has been a faith venture from the start. We have never really seriously fundraised, although I'm a tribute to Monica, to Rachel and Malcolm, who recently done a lot of work for us on that area, but it was through Monica's zeal and passion for the work that she went around the country speaking about the work to churches and groups and individuals. And again, I want to pay tribute to the many people over the last 13 years that have sponsored work, the work in Bambo. I would estimate that over the last decade or more, Monica's raised through her ministry and work in the region of £350,000 to £400,000, which has been used for God's work in the village. And as I said, we are very grateful to the many people that have sponsored the work, and many continue to this day to support the ministry. The money has been used over a range of items and issues, primarily in supporting education, both primary and secondary. And more recently, we've been sponsoring college and university places. It's been a real privilege to see young people come through the system from primary to secondary and go to university. Well, you know, that, as Bob said, you know, there's been so much work done in Obama, but this would never have happened. You know, young people being doctors and nurses and engineers now through university that has been through Monica's ministry. We've also set up a young people centre in the village, so to set up workshops for light industrial use, and Monica also worked with Vantage Africa in forming a medical clinic. So there's been a massive amount of infrastructure work going on in the village over the years. More recently, we've concentrated on sustainable projects, businesses, encouraging people to become self-sustaining and to earn their money through their labours. And we've set up a number of businesses, including beekeeping, cattle husbandry, a veterinary business, agricultural retail shop, and various other minor and industries that the people really love doing, and we've given them training and support to do their work. On the spiritual side of the ministry, Monica's made nearly 30 visits to the village over the years and had a strong preaching and teaching ministry with young people, especially. At a Sunday morning service, I would estimate 100 to 150 young people would attend, and we know that many, many have become Christians. Annually, Monica supported a pastor's conference and a young people's conference, and many people from the UK and indeed Kenya have attended. Monica viewed her work in total, but the spiritual side was her passion, and the humanitarian side was an outworking of that spiritual desire. In 2011, the High Commissioner for Kenya, no less, advised Monica to set up an official in-country non-governmental organisation, an NGO, as the level of financial support we were now providing was considerable. We were told by those in the know that this could take up to two years to form. AIRS was formed in 2 months. Clearly God was in the situation, so that the Obambo and Kubar Community Support Initiative was formed and is the main enabler of our work today in the village. I visited the village twice in the recent years and observed the ministry at first hand. As already been said, Monica was universally loved by the people in the church and in the community. Wherever she went, people would rush up to her and engage with her as a friend. And I especially remember one old gentleman rushed out of his little hut and shouted out, "Hey, Monica!" Not quite like this, but you get my drift. "You've lost weight!" So that clearly demonstrated that she was really part of the community that she served. And that was wonderful. Monica especially loved children. Indeed, one of the pastor Jack's children is called Monica, after her name. So that was her real passion, the children in Obambo. Monica was a person of massive integrity and determination and never gave up. Indeed, a few years ago, when things were not going well in the village and people tried to blacken her name, she did not throw in the towel, but it continued to support the work in the same loving and caring way. In the end, love had its way, and now relationships are being restored. What the devil intended for destruction, God turned into good. I think a lesson to us all. So what of the future? Whatever happens, Monica's work has been an invaluable contribution to that impoverished community in Western Kenya. In my view, the prime legacy, as we said earlier, is that many, I would say hundreds of children and young people have now have a future that they might not have had through training and education. They themselves have established support groups and mechanisms that they can encourage other people, young people, to become engaged in the work. And I hope this strengthens. Personally, it's been an absolute pleasure to have known and worked with Monica. I've known my position from day one that God asked me to support Monica's work, and that I was never the heir apparent to the work. This makes life a lot easier when you know your place. I can honestly say there's never been any conflict between the two of us. We never exchanged a cross or a harsh word. We didn't always agree on issues, but we both knew the art of compromise. Monica valued her support group, and generally we all agreed. Occasionally she would go rogue, but we gave her license to do that. When she visited the village and saw a need, and it wasn't up to us to say, "You can't do that." She fulfilled that need, and that was absolutely right. I personally miss Monica very much, and I know that's the case for the community in Obambo. Her light will never be seen again, and only God knows the next chapter in the story. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing Monica Cook, missionary, shopping channel, and Dancing on Ice fan.
Nobody said anything yet about Monica's belief in health and safety policy or risk assessments. I'm waiting for this. There's a lovely little clause in our church constitution which says, offerings will or won't be taken up at the pastor's discretion. And I don't use the discretion very often, but I thought I would this afternoon, because I thought there would be people here who'd want to have the opportunity to give to the work of Lynx International, which is the sort of umbrella body which will deal with gifts going forward to Obambo. So as we sing in a moment, the offering baskets will come round. If you want to put a cheque in, just make it payable to Lynx International. And if there's any loose cash, we will send that off to them. We're going to stand to sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a bold place to find.
These are very small baskets that were used in the offering today. They're not the normal Battle Baptist baskets. And they're filled. What a shame we didn't use the normal size baskets at this meeting. They were locked up.
Yes.
I always have the key. Father, we thank you for these gifts which have been given today. And we just set them apart to be used for your work. And Lord, we thank you for all those who've supported the work that Monica's done down the years, not just overseas, but her own personal support. We thank you, Father, that she discovered that you indeed were the provider of all her needs. And we bless you for being faithful to her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Rachel, you're going to come and say something about Monica and this church, I think.
I've been here about 18 years now, I think, and I came to know Monica when I first came here. And as everyone has said so far, she has always been a dear friend and very fond to meet all the family and join in games and so on. But Monica's love for God and his love for her was so evident in her life. And she knew Jesus, she told me this, from the age of 7. That's when she came to know Jesus. And she said, I've never not known that. I have always known every day of my life that Jesus loved me. And undoubtedly, this is what enabled her to do great things for God. Monica's love was for children, teaching them the gospel, how to pray, and how to expect to hear from God. She wrote teaching manuals and was gifted, enabling them to understand. Brenda Parsons here, a member here, said, I have loved Monica since I first met her 23 years ago. And I think many of us can echo those sentiments. Brenda goes on to say, Monica was great at children's camps so that they both learnt, played and enjoyed themselves. And she was able to explain the Holy Spirit to the children. Her ministry to them was outstanding. Many children taught by Monica here committed their lives to Jesus, and we've seen them grow up and go on into different ministries. Monica was an important part of an overseas subgroup here, which seeks to encourage the church to support overseas mission. And she met with a few people occasionally for prayer about that. As a church member, she was part of a house group, and she said to me one day, I feel that all Christians should study the Bible for themselves. Monica also played an important part in this church as a deacon. She always helped at the holiday Bible clubs, often teaching them, and she just loved to talk with children and young people. Another of her activities, as has been mentioned, was supporting the Hastings night pastors, praying with a group until the early hours of the morning. And I know one Sunday morning she was either here at 9 or up at Claverham, I can't remember which now, at 10:30, and she hadn't gone home till about 4 o'clock the night before. She seemed to never tire. Her energy was endless. She said to me once, I never feel tired. So Monica was strong, courageous, kind, loving and caring. And it was a pleasure to help her in her last days.
Now, before Mark comes and leads us in some prayers, I'm going to say a few words which Monica's brother Michael has written for us. And Michael and Pauline, I hope as you've listened to all this stuff this afternoon about Monica, I hope it's given you some comfort. and the thought that although your loss is obviously great, that other people are feeling that sense of loss too, and that she meant a great deal to many people, not just here in the Church at Battle, but in lots of other churches where she worked and served so faithfully. And this is what Michael and Pauline want to say. There are so many of you who helped Monica through her illness, too many to name individually. We're so grateful to you all. Firstly, there were the hospital appointments and treatment at Maidstone after Monica's operation. We thank those people who drove her there. We understand that a rota was put in place and several ladies took turns in cooking Monica a meal each day. We thank you so much for this. Monica had many friends who came to visit her when she was at home. We know that some lived locally, but others travelled many miles to see her. Then there were so many of you who visited Monica in Haywards Heath Hospital, the hospital in Hastings, and at St Michael's Hospice. We could not always be with Monica, but it is comforting for us to know that she had minute visits from her many friends. We thank those who managed to travel up to Norfolk for her funeral, also the people who gave donations in memory of Monica for cancer research. A total of £435 was passed on to that charity. We have received many cards and letters from her friends and colleagues, and we realise how much Monica was loved and appreciated. This has been a great comfort to us as we miss her so much. And finally, we want to thank Andy Young and his wife, who dealt with the medical side, and to Bob and Ellis Harper for all their kindness and help given to Monica and to us during the last months. God bless you all. And that's from Monica's brother Michael and Pauline. Thank you. Mark, would you come and lead us in prayer, please?
Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for Monica's life, for her character and her passion for you, and her faith which saw her do great things for you. Thank you for her example. Thank you for the thousands of lives she impacted for the gospel. Thank you that she was a wonderful sister in Christ and also a spiritual mother to so many around the world. We praise you for the glory in which she now shares because of Jesus' death and resurrection. May that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead be alive in each one of us, that we too may share in his wonderful inheritance. Loving Father, comfort us, Spirit. We pray you would continue to be with Monica's family and friends, upholding them. May they know your presence continually with them, your peace and goodness restoring their souls. Lord Jesus, we lift up all those who worked with Monica and partnered with her on mission both here and around the world. Send your Spirit to anoint all they do for you and to guide them as they look to the future. You are the Lord of the harvest. Send out your workers into the harvest field. Lord, give wisdom to those considering the future of ministry in Abambo, that they may know your will and purpose. Father, thank you for the many children whose lives have been touched by Monica's ministry, many of whom have grown into mature believers, serving you in many ways and in many places. Thank you for others still growing in their faith. May their faith be watered and nourished so that they remain in you and grow in their knowledge and love of Jesus. Lord, may your whole church have a passion to see children come to faith and flourish as disciples. And may you anoint more and more people with the heart and the gifts for children's ministry. We ask all these things in the name of our mighty risen Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We've certainly been treated to some hymns this afternoon. I must admit I haven't sung the next one for a long time, and I'm looking forward to it. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus.
Rolling.
Please sit down. I want to read a couple of verses from Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11, we read, "And he himself," that's Jesus, "he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And I've called this talk, Monica Cook, "A Gift to the Whole Church." I don't know where you think you get pastors and people like that from. You know, different denominations have different processes for finding people to come and to take on the pastorate of a church. And there's a certain amount of human input into those sort of decisions. But surely we must believe the word of God that says he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So whatever denomination we're from, whatever the methods used, what we're trying to do is not to find out what we want in a given situation, but we're trying to discern the will of God for the work or for what needs doing. And I do believe that Monica Cook exercised the ministry gift of evangelist. And as an evangelist, she wasn't, you know, she was a member of Battle Baptist Church, and she did some evangelism in Battle Baptist Church. But as an evangelist, she moved between churches, exercising that gift wherever she had the opportunity to. And she was supported by the body of Christ, by different people being prompted by the Holy Spirit to support her financially. Some of you probably partnered with her for a very long time, and others for a shorter period of time, but the Lord sustained her. So she did have a home here, and she did serve in this church as a deacon. And I have to say, as pastor, I felt that was very important, that somebody with such a sort of freelance, if you like, type of ministry. I do believe it's biblical that if people are going out from a church, they're rooted into a church, they have somewhere to relate to when they come back home. And I also believe it's important that when they come back home, when they are people who are visiting speakers, ministering here, there and everywhere, I believe that when they come back home, they should relate into the leadership of the local church. So having had the opportunity to put my beliefs into practice, we did here at Battle. And she served as a deacon, although lots of people would have said, "Well, what's she a deacon there for? She's hardly ever there." I tell you, she was a deacon here because one of the things she did, being full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, she made it her business to get here on a Friday morning to pray. I can remember that there were times when she would get off a plane on a Thursday night and she'd be here on a Friday morning. And I think, here's somebody who is worth being on the leadership of a local church, because she really takes prayer seriously, not just for her stuff, not just for Obambo. I mean, obviously here we did and we do pray for the work in Obambo, but you know what a church prayer meeting is like. It's all the normal stuff that you're praying about and that you're concerned about in your community and areas where you want to see God work. And Monica was happy to do that. And again, that takes a special sort of person, because when you do minister overseas, and there are a number of us here who've done that, when you minister overseas, when you go somewhere else, you're considered rather special. The Nolan's Law of Missionary Preaching says that the anointing increases in direct proportion to the number of miles travelled to get to the meeting. So when I'm here, it's just old Dennis is having a rant about something. But if I go somewhere else, it's the anointed speaker, the gift of God, the man for the hour. Do you know what I mean? And I'm sure Monica had plenty of that in her life. And so it's good to be rooted into a local church where you come back to earth, as it were, and your prayer meeting is concerned about Mrs. Smith's hip and somebody else's knee replacement or whatever, and what you want God to be doing in your community. And Monica was really good at being a member of the local church. But there is no doubt she was a fine example of an evangelist, and she used that gift across a very wide area in many different churches. And I think that's why she was able to serve so fruitfully throughout this country as well as overseas. Now, an evangelist is a sharer of good news. Evangelists are marked out by having a love for Christ and a love for other people. Evangelists have a burden to see people repent of their sins and come to faith in Christ and find peace with God. Evangelists normally believe the Bible. They normally believe that if you die without putting your faith in Christ, you are lost. And therefore they're preaching, they're teaching for a conversion. They're wanting the hearer to come to a decision to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But an evangelist is also able to awaken interest in people regarding the state of their soul and to use scripture to bring people to a realization of their need to repent of their sins and commit their lives to Christ. Evangelists are effective in communicating with people. And when you think of it, this is absolutely a God-given gift and anointing that Monica had. Here's a lady, a single woman, grew up with no first-hand experience of children, didn't particularly know what it was like to have a kid come home from school and, you know, homework and all that. Didn't particularly, wouldn't have had any real knowledge of toys and games that kids are playing with today. And yet she could command the interest of children, modern children. Children who are playing about with tablet computers and all that sort of stuff. Amazing that God could use her to communicate to kids and to get their interests so that they would put the computer game or phone game to the side, and then they're thinking about Jesus and this person who lived so long ago. I call that an extraordinary gift. And I'm glad we've come together this afternoon to acknowledge it, to honour it, and to appreciate it. Evangelists are effective in communicating with people, and Monica was extremely effective in finding creative ways to tell people about Jesus. Before she travelled extensively in recent years, she'd also spent a shortish period of time actually being employed by this church. I can't even remember what capacity we employed her in. Do you remember, Bob? We cooked something up, didn't we? And she worked here part-time, doing stuff with the kids. And we know that her work was effective as we went through a phase here when young people came to the church for baptism, when you could predict what they'd say in their testimony. I first made a commitment at a holiday Bible club taken by Monica, or in the after-school club led by Monica. But Monica sensed after a while that that period of her life was drawing to a close. And she came to the elders here and she asked us to pray about her future. And we did. And we went back to her and we said we believed that the Lord had said that if she was prepared to live out of a suitcase, he would take her to many places. And he did. And some of them were just extraordinary. I remember her telling me, I think she told me she was going to go into Burma. And I said, you know, I tried to be sensible. I had to have a concern for her welfare as her pastor. I said, well, how are you going to get into Burma? Well, I'm going to meet this man in Bangkok. I said, well, who? Well, I said, I don't think she'd met him before. Somebody she got a contact with. I said, well, where are you going to meet? Outside McDonald's. And you think, that's extraordinary that, you know, the Lord took her to these places, into countries that are normally closed, and brought her out. It was just amazing the different places that she went to, and God did indeed use her in many places. I think it's true to say that Monica was a pioneer woman in the mould of other great feminine heroes of the faith, such as Mary Slessor, Amy Carmichael, and Gladys Aylward. And incidentally, all of those people worked to spread the gospel to transform the lives of children. Those women of an earlier generation I mentioned, they all did exactly the same. I think it's fair to say that all of those women were stubborn too. And I think Monica had a degree of stubbornness. And she, you alluded to this, Clive, that she refused to allow anyone or anything to deter her from what she actually believed to be God's plan for her life. Now, these words of Jesus from Matthew 6 would have provided inspiration to Monica and it helped her shape the way she lived her life, just as they probably do for many of you here. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." As an evangelist, Monica has left behind a very large legacy. Now, I don't refer to money or possessions. Those things genuinely didn't seem to interest her. But I refer to many young lives changed at churches and camps and holiday clubs through people finding Christ as their saviour. That's the legacy. And then there are those overseas, especially in Abambo, educated and fed better through her persistence. You know, in that Kenyan village, Monica played her part in bringing real answers to real problems, and God has used her in powerful and dynamic ways. I came across this story about a Monica-like figure who asked a group of children in a holiday club, "If I sold my house and car and gave all my money to the church, would I get into heaven?" "No," they all answered, obviously been well taught. "If I cleaned the church every week, went onto the coffee rota, and even volunteered to help with the church youth club, would I get into heaven?" Again, the answer was no. "Well," the teacher said, "how then can I get to heaven?" And from the back of the group, a little boy shouted out, "You got to be dead first." Well, we're all going to die, but we're not all going to stay dead. And the message of hope that Monica communicated so clearly is that Jesus defeated death by his death on the cross, that Jesus has risen from the dead, that Jesus has power to forgive sins and to change people, even the youngest of children, and that Jesus has prepared a way for us to join him in the heavenly places if we will but ask him to be our Saviour and Lord. So I want to urge everyone to put their faith in Christ if they haven't done so. And by so doing, you will come to meet the Saviour whom Monica loved and so faithfully sought to serve. Amen. Well, our final hymn probably comes as no surprise, really, because it's not really a hymn about commitment as such. It's not urging us to trust Jesus. It's not urging us to give more to God or work harder or do any of that. It's just a declaration of praise, and it's "To God Be the Glory." Let's stand and praise God with that hymn.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for all that we've heard this afternoon. And we do want to give you the glory for a life well lived, for a race well run, and for a journey completed. Hallelujah. And we pray that as the rest of us continue with our own journey through this world, that you would encourage us all to live for you and to serve you to the best of our ability. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's say together the grace. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Amen.